The Penguin TV show is easily one of the best shows of the year. Created in collaboration with HBO, this new miniseries continues the story of their 2022 film, The Batman, and it absolutely destroys all other superhero TV and movies. A star-studded cast full of gripping performances combined with great writing and mature themes has finally given fans something to be excited about. They've completely destroyed Marvel TV shows, who have been left in the dust after years of flops and disappointments. So how did The Penguin manage to do this, especially after the failure that was The Joker 2? If The Penguin is just the start of DC's new approach, then they could be in for a long string of successes. While the show is set in Gotham and boasts a cast made up of mostly classic DC characters, that's about where the similarities end. Instead of feeling like a superhero film or even a comic book movie, The Penguin shares much of its DNA with crime dramas like Breaking Bad, The Sopranos, and especially Scarface. The show follows Colin Farrell as the Penguin and his journey to the top of the criminal underworld. There aren't any superpowers, there aren't any capes, and the idea of Batman's barely even there at all. Instead, the show expands on the same kinds of intricate Machiavellian power struggles that have fueled most of the best shows ever made. Just like a lot of other crime dramas, the show is a masterclass in how to create a character study. Colin Farrell is completely transformed as this new version of the Penguin. Like Heath Ledger's Joker, it's a performance that'll set the benchmark forever. His sleazy charisma and underdog charm draw you in, despite the fact that he's the true embodiment of a villain. But he's not alone in giving an excellent gripping performance. Kristen Milioti is at the height of her craft in her portrayal of Sofia Falcone. She effortlessly switches between seeming sympathetic, devious, and strong, creating one of the most compelling and complex characters we've seen this year. Episode 4 in particular, which focuses almost entirely on her story and her performance, is one of the best of the series. And also the supporting actors are great as well. Clancy Brown, as seen in Invincible, SpongeBob SquarePants, or The Shawshank Redemption, is as excellent as ever. Michael Kelly, just like in House of Cards, is a great performance as well. They all make the atmosphere and the world of the show that much richer. This dramatic shift in genre and DC's new approach to their properties seemed like it was exactly what they needed to do, especially when everyone clowned on them for the flop that was The Joker 2. And not just that, it's been a very rocky ride for them in recent years. Especially compared to Marvel, their competitor for the throne. Even as the superhero phase of cinema got started, they were incredibly late to the party. They had seen plenty of success, licensing out their characters to other studios and directors, like with the Nolan Batman trilogy. But when it came to an actual cinematic universe, they were playing catch up for years. Marvel has been pumping out film after film ever since Iron Man released in 2008. It gave them the time to set up their characters and build up a solid template for another decade and a half of yearly films. But it would take 5 more years for DC to finally start their own cinematic universe. In 2013, they finally kicked off their new cinematic universe with Man of Steel. It was a mixed bag to say the least. The film split fans and audiences, and while some people loved its take on Superman, others weren't so enthused. On the one hand, the film took a lot of inspiration from Marvel films with its big CGI fight scenes and its bright appearance. But at the same time, it was still trying to be more serious than Marvel was, with less jokes and darker themes. The resulting mix of light and dark was just strange. The massive levels of destruction in the film, which would be overlooked in a Marvel flick or a lighthearted comic book movie, suddenly seemed a lot more sinister and just tragic. While lots of people still loved the film, these problems would only get worse as time went on. Their next attempt with Batman vs. Superman was a much poorer film, and it made these problems a lot more visible. Then DC went straight into releasing their own team-up film, The Justice League, and it was even worse. Originally, Zack Snyder was the director, and he had set out to make a darker, grittier version of the story. But the creative division at DC was so bad that halfway through production, they lost their nerve and changed directors. Even after the film was pretty much finished, they put Joss Whedon in charge instead, fresh off his successes directing The Avengers and The Avengers Age of Ultron. He added a few new scenes and tons of Marvel-like quips and jokes, but figuratively and literally, he made the film much lighter, brightening the Snyder scenes in post-production, which made them all just look weird. DC lost out big on the film financially, and it pretty much killed their hopes for an extended universe. And as time would go on, they'd find out through trial and error it was best to stick to one tone or the other. They had some other great successes with some lighthearted films like Shazam and Aquaman, as when the subject matter matched the tone and they weren't trying to set up 10 more years of films, they could easily keep up with Marvel. But with the amount of films like this that Marvel had made, and with the MCU starting to run out of steam, it was clear that the genre was about to change. Making a video like this takes so much time and money to produce. It's almost impossible for anyone to make it on YouTube because of this. However, InVideo enables you to express and communicate your ideas in the form of stunning videos, the kind you've always wanted to create, the kind you'd be excited to share within your peers, in the most seamless, intuitive way possible, irrespective of whatever skill level you're at. With this new version, unlike traditional video tools with steep learning curves that only solve parts of the video creation process, InVideo will be the creative part partner that you've always wanted. Imagine the possibilities, storytelling, explainer videos, cinematic scenes, product ads, and beyond. It removes all friction and makes the process so intuitive and fluid that it disappears, letting users focus entirely on their version and their idea. Unlike other tools like Sora, which still isn't publicly available, NVIDIA version 3 is launching soon and will be accessible to everyone. This isn't just a tool for making clips or templates, but complete videos. Let's say I want to create a 30-second ad video for YouTube, with the video being all about Coca-Cola but strawberry flavored, and let's use some wide cinematic shots and close-ups of the product from time to time. This is what NVIDIA AI came up with.
Imagine the sweetness of summer.
And you can edit anything you like with a command like add my voice. You can try NVIDIA AI for free, but if you want to use their generative capabilities, I highly recommend that you go for the generative plan that starts at $96 per month. It's the one that I have and gives you the most bang for your buck with 15 generative minutes. If you're already an NVIDIA user, you can simply go to the add-on section and buy generative seconds. It brings us roughly to the last couple of years and DC's new approach to their creative properties. If you can't double down on making a lighthearted superhero movie, then you can fully embrace the other direction instead. 2022's The Batman was their first attempt at this, and it was a huge success, pulling in nearly $800 million at the box office. But creatively, The Penguin outshines it a bunch, no doubt thanks to HBO's involvement. It feels like they finally figured out how to get the darker tone right. While it's harder to tell just how popular or successful shows are, it's already pretty obvious that this is a huge hit. The director Matt Reeves has already confirmed new shows set in the same universe. And a large part of what makes the show so great is the quality of the writing. It takes real talent to write a narrative full of twists and turns, but that never gets too confusing or overcomplicated. The Penguin is constantly getting into life or death situations, tiptoeing the line between victory and defeat, but it always seems like he has a trick up his sleeve that you aren't expecting. The way he plays other characters against each other and exploits their own greed for his own gain is masterful. It never really feels manufactured though, or like he's fully in control of what's going on. It's definitely a dark show as well. Gotham is a decrepit, rainy place, and the show doesn't shy away from that, but at the same time, it never feels unearned or like it's going overboard. The tragedy and the distressing scenes aren't exploitative or out of place, and like we've said, instead of following the mold of superhero films, the show takes its cues from crime dramas. It lets it explore mature themes that often aren't visited by cinematic stories based on these characters. It's clear that one of the main themes is inequality. Gotham itself is an exaggerated expression of inequality, with its contrast between the rich and the poor. The two worlds seem incredibly separate with how different they are, but they're both reliant on each other to exist. This disconnection is symbolized in The Penguin by the river running between the poorer parts of Gotham and the wealthier city center. First is what literally separates the gleaming skyscrapers from the dark slums of the outskirts, but more metaphorically, it's also representative of the destruction and chaos that inequality creates. The river's flood that decimated the poorer parts of Gotham is what sets everything in motion for the characters. Then at the very end, we see how the river washes away the forgotten people of the city and pours them back into its depths. For the character of the Penguin, it sparks the chaos that facilitates his climb to the top. For Victor, his accomplice, it's a terrible tragedy that put him into contact with the Penguin to begin with. Now, we haven't really talked about him yet, but the actor's performance as Victor is what really ties the show together. He gives audiences their entry point into the world, and he's the moral anchor for the whole thing. Thrust into a life of crime by tragedy and manipulation, he's a powerful way to add an emotional hook to the Penguin's own personal story. Thematically, he's a representation of the victims of inequality. He's essentially a good person, but he gets punished into doing awful things by the desperation of his world and what it demands of him. But he isn't the only character influenced primarily by inequality. Unlike in most of his upper-class incarnations, this version of the Penguin is the opposite of the Batman. While Bruce Wayne descends from high society and journeys into the criminal underworld, the Penguin is trying to go into the other direction. He's a product of that world of poverty and desperation, and while he's reached the top of that world, he hasn't truly bridged the gap into high society. Instead, he's the connection between the two worlds of the corrupt upper class and the street-level pawns. The rest of the established mobsters and the establishment in general still don't accept him as one of their own, but he's got his foot in the door because he's the only real connection between the two very disconnected worlds. Regardless of morality and ethics, the Penguin is a self-made man, and it gives us another reason to root for him. But his story is also a warning for the kind of conditions that inequality creates. The Penguin's evil acts and his manipulations throughout the show all come from his own background. Outwardly, lifting his family out of poverty is what motivates him, although, as we soon find out, it's a little bit more complicated than that. Inequality isn't just behind his motivation though. It also created the world where he could make that journey in the first place. The poverty of Gotham has created a city where there isn't any point hedging your bets. It's all or nothing, and because of how unequal everything is, everyone is only out for themselves. It's what lets the Penguin, a true villain through and through, succeed. His narcissism and evil are rewarded by the chaos. Becoming a sociopath is the only way to survive, and he's perfectly willing to do the awful things necessary to climb to the top. He's a perfect manipulator because he's been manipulating himself and everyone around him for the whole time. All the while, his hard life and his childhood gives him an inner justification for his actions. But he's not a villain in the same way that we often see villains portrayed in the media. Most of the time, they aren't really truly villains. They're misguided good guys who think they're doing the right thing for everyone. Or they find their heart at the very last moment and they change their ways. These kinds of villains aren't bad, of course, but they're so common you almost expect it as the norm. Instead, the Penguin is a different, more consistent kind of evil. Underneath all of the layers, he's rotten to the core. He's entirely self-centered and self-interested, and he ignores morality completely when it gets in the way of his own goals. You can also assume that he's just always been this way, and that he won't ever change. But even within this simple framework, the show finds complexity. It's much more about how our own understanding of the character changes with how the show unfolds. This portrayal of a true villain with multiple layers of complexity is exactly what's been missing from what was the mainstream superhero film. Marvel started it all in their very first film. They just casted the famous actor as the villain and gave them a version of the hero's powers for the final fight. In that first case, it was Jeff Bridges in a larger Iron Man suit, but the pattern repeated itself over and over again. These one-dimensional villains were everywhere, and often they were what separated the best Marvel films from the worst ones. Films like Thor 2 or Iron Man 2 suffered from their cookie-cutter treatment of their villains. Meanwhile, Infinity War and Spider-Man Homecoming overperformed in large part thanks to their more interesting antagonists. A lack of interesting villains has just been one of the many mistakes that Marvel has made recently. The shows and properties that have been pushing the genre forward recently know just how important villains really are. Then there's been their obsession with one-dimensional female characters as well. The Penguin also outdid Marvel in that regard with Sophia's story. It finds the room to properly explore the kinds of themes that Marvel makes a big song and dance about upholding, but at the same time it does it within a detailed character study that almost outshines the Penguin himself. Sophia has flaws and faces almost insurmountable challenges, but she's just as morally grey and capable of evil as any other character in the show. Unlike Colin Farrell's Penguin though, it's still debatable whether she's a true villain. In a lot of ways, it's really hard to imagine anything more different than the Penguin and your average bright and colourful Marvel film. But this shift in genre is a sign of the audience growing up and maturing, and it's a welcome one at that. You can see it happening through what's been popular and well-liked recently compared to Marvel's dying empire. Take Invincible and The Boys. Both shows have found popularity in the vacuum left by Marvel's recent failings. Both Homelander and Omni-Man are great examples of deep villains completely integrated into their stories. Neither of their shows would have been as impactful or successful if they were one-dimensional or just boring. It all shows that branching out into different genres and exploring more mature, complicated stories and themes is the future of the superhero properties. People weren't sick of these characters or their origin stories or anything like that. Instead, they were sick of the same poor quality stories, the Scorsese dubbed the theme parks of movies. While Marvel was ahead of the game for years, this shift is what's finally putting DC in front, and all we can hope is that they'll keep up this level they've achieved with the Penguin.